On and off the field, women in sports are inspiring and motivating others to be the best versions of themselves, rewriting the rules and changing the game. This is the On Her Turf podcast, hosted by Katherine Tappan.
Welcome to the On Her Turf podcast. I'm Katherine Tappan. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode. Today we are chatting with two-time Olympic gold medalist, FIFA Women's World Cup champion, and two-time FIFA World Player of the Year, Carly Lloyd. Thanks so much for joining us, Carly.
No problem. Excited to be on.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too, by the way. I mean, as a professional athlete and someone who trains at such a high level, are you able to even enjoy Thanksgiving? Do you eat all the fixings?
Well, I cooked most of it. This was our first year hosting all of our family. So, of course, I had to enjoy it. I made some different dishes just to experiment a little bit. But I do allow myself that one day to indulge and become very full. But it's well worth it for sure.
It is indeed. And I'm sure it was nice for you to be home. The last I saw you was at the March of Dimes event in December 2015 when you were honored as the Sportswoman of the Year. So much has happened in those 2 years. And I know you recently got back from Barcelona, from training overseas. So just tell me a little bit about what you've been up to with your training.
So it's been, you know, another busy year. And you mentioned back in 2015, I feel like these last couple of years for me have, you know, not really been a blur, but they kind of have in a sense, because I've just been all over the map. Obviously life has changed after the World Cup. So it's been, you know, very busy, but in a good sense. I've been, you know, juggled teams, Man City when I played for them for a short stint. I was playing in the NWSL for Houston, and now, you know, obviously this past season gotten traded back home to Sky Blue FC, as well as, you know, being a part of the national team. So it's, we closed out a busy year. I was on the road just recently for the last 3 weeks. I did sort of a week in Barcelona for, kind of a personal trip to be able to go over there and watch some games. And then went on with the national team. We were in Portugal and Scotland. So, it's good to finally be home, good to wrap up the year. And, you know, I'm looking forward to kind of this off season and get right back into it shortly.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the highlights from this year, because as you mentioned, it's been awesome to follow you and the women's national team. And just recently, the women's national team qualified for the 2019 World Cup in France, so you will get a chance to represent the USA again. What was that moment like for you guys when you beat Japan back on October 14th?
You know, it's a huge moment for us. I mean, as we saw with the men, you never want to take anything for granted. So in order to qualify and, you know, punch our ticket to the World Cup, we needed to, beat Canada in that final to play. You know, and obviously winning the CONCACAF championship. But what we would like to see is now our focus being switched to be able to, you know, focus on the World Cup. We've punched our ticket. We know that we're going, and now it's all about the preparation. And, the moment in 2010 where we didn't qualify right away and we had to actually play a playoff match versus Italy, home and away. At that moment in my career, I'd been on the team for 5 years. You know, you never, ever want to take a qualification for granted ever again. So it was great to be able to wrap that up. And I think, you know, we all feel a bit of relief knowing that we qualified, and now it's all eyes on France.
Talk to me about, you know, you mentioned the preparation, and preparation is crucial in achieving goals, especially at the world level, the international level, and where you are looking to achieve your goals. What do you think, how much energy goes into the focus for those events that are so far in the future, Carly, but you still have to keep that preparation intact? How much of a challenge is that when the events are in the distant future?
Well, you always want to keep that long-term goal, stored in your memory bank in some capacity, but you don't want to focus on that. And I think as I've learned and as I've gotten older, the less that I focus on the end result, because you miss all of the things in between. You miss the preparation. You miss the journey. You miss living and being in the moment in order to succeed and in order to get to that final destination. So I think that, you know, for me personally, I'm doing a much better job of kind of living in the moment and taking it day by day. But the amount of mental prep that goes into it is huge. And after you finish a major event, you know, yeah, you're, you know, a little physically tired. But for me, because I spend so much time on the mental aspect of the game, I am mentally zapped because I'm basically pouring 100% of my time, effort, and thinking into competing, staying in the moment, but making sure that I'm obviously doing well and helping my team. So it's, you know, it's mentally and physically draining. And I think, you know, the older that I get, I think it's more of a mental battle than it is a physical battle.
What kind of exercises do you do? I'm just curious for mentally preparing yourself. Are there books you read, meditation? I mean, what does that involve, getting mentally prepared for these events?
I do a lot of everything. You know, I visualize, I do some meditation, I read books. You know, a lot of the books that I like to read are more, you know, autobiography, you know, about people's lives, you know, just kind of the success stories that you hear, the underdog stories. I like real live things. And so I kind of immerse myself in those type of things because if I'm going to read something, I do want to get better. That's not to say that, you know, I don't occasionally read a Nicholas Sparks love book, but I do like to indulge more in, you know, the kind of the self-help books. But I spend time, and as I've gotten older, I've gotten better and better at it. But I know that when you reach this level, there's only a small separation that you have amongst all the other players in the world. And, you know, for me, the mental aspect of the game has been the most important. And I think it's, you know, allowed me to be so successful. So I know how important it is. And I spend time, you know, visualizing, preparing. I don't, you know, really have my husband at any of the events, not because I don't love him, but because, you know, I want to spend all of my time and energy focusing on what I'm supposed to be doing rather than, you know, making sure he's okay and he's having fun. And you know, so it's a lot, but it's all worth it in the end.
You know, I've read that before that you've mentioned about your husband and you do a great job separating and yet balancing everything. But a lot of times athletes have a hard time when it's the Super Bowls and when it's these big world events that you have so many family in town, you have so many obligations, you know, in your case, off the pitch that you have to balance. You've talked about your husband, Brian, on, you know, you've featured him before on your social media platform and for special occasions. You recently posted a quote alongside a photo of the two of you on your second anniversary. And part of that quote read, "I don't want a relationship, I want a partnership." How does Brian support you and your goals? And how do you think you are both able to achieve that balance?
Well, if it weren't for Brian, I would not be where I'm at today. And, you know, we've dated since high school. So we have, you know, we have wanted this to work out. We have fought. We have gone through ups and downs. But at the end of the day, you know, our love for one another has been so strong. And I think that is what has carried us along. And we've also been growing together. Some people grow apart. We've been growing together. And, you know, I think that, you know, what's been so special about him is he's always been there for me, you know, whether I'm sad, happy, you know, a pain in the butt. He's always kind of been my zen, able to balance me out. Sometimes I get overly stressful about certain things, and he kind of is just very even keeled, and he just gives me this balance about himself. And he always is, you know, offering up his point of view, you know, to try to help me through different things. And he's just, you know, always believed in me, and he's never gotten my way. He has never once complained about me having on a Friday night or a Saturday night, having to go out at 9 o'clock at night and train, or waking up early on one of his off days and having to train. So, you know, he's my rock, and, you know, we do have a partnership, and, you know, we're in this together. We're a great team, and we're just looking forward to continuing this journey together and, you know, see what the future has in store for us.
Yeah, I love that. It's such a strong message, too, to have that support of your partner. I also loved a quote of yours that I recently read in the New York Times. As you get older, you get a little freaked out. You want your life to slow down a little bit. this final year or two, I want to live a little more in the present and enjoy each day, enjoy time with my friends and my family and my husband and here with the team, just to enjoy the moment, whether that journey is easy or hard, making sure you're savoring every day. How has your perspective, Carly, on your career and your future that you were just talking about with Brian, how has it all changed since 2015?
Well, you know, you can't stay in one spot for too long. Eventually, life throws you a different way. You're suddenly on a bumpier path. But that's what makes the story so special. And when you look back at these moments, you know, these are the moments that you treasure. And these are the moments that you really look back at and say to yourself, you know, I'm happy that this happened. So I think as I've been getting older, I'm, you know, trying to, you know, maybe not stress myself out as much and worrying about, you know, what I'm doing next month or 2 months from now or a year from now, or am I doing enough? I think I've done such a better job of just kind of living in the moment and really living life and really appreciating being around my friends and family and Brian and just trying to stay in that moment. I think as a successful person and someone who, you know, is addicted to continuously getting better, you always kind of want that next big thing. And I think for so long I've been chasing that. And now I just, you know, I want life to slow down just a little bit. And I think that, you know, as you get older, you realize these things. But, you know, I think for me, for my career, I've always fought for a spot on the team and nothing has changed. Every single year I've, you know, been battling it out. But this time around, you know, I feel that I'm, you know, the best player I've ever been. For me. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, my coaches continuously recognize my growth and see that I'm improving, because at the end of the day, I want to help my team win. And I know that I can still play a huge part in that. I want to. And, you know, I think in the last couple of years, I don't think that my will or dedication or goals have changed. I just think that, you know, the world is throwing different things at you all the time, and you have to be able to kind of navigate through all these different things. And some you learn, some takes you a little bit longer, but, you know, I'm happy where I'm at, and I'm just going to keep on fighting and do everything possible to help this, you know, our team bring home the trophy again.
Well, you're fighting on the field and you're also fighting off the field as well. In early 2016, you joined four teammates in filing a wage discrimination complaint against U.S. Soccer. And at that time, you wrote an essay in the New York Times, and part of it said, "This has nothing to do with how much I love to play for my country. It has everything to do with what's right and what's fair and with upholding a fundamental American concept, equal pay for equal play." Carly, why was this filing so important to you and taking on this challenge that you felt you needed to do?
It's pretty much paying it forward, right? It's, you know, passing the baton on, and the players that had come before me, the 99ers, the Julie Foudy and Mia Hamm and all of those players, they helped pave the way for me. So it's no different. And this is about future generations. I want them to get what they deserve in terms of recognition and compensation. And, you know, our team and the history of this team has been so, so successful that, you know, we have to fight. We have to continue to fight. You know, I think it's an important thing, and it's something that, you know, when I leave this game, I want it to be better than when I first came in. That's exactly what myself and a lot of my other teammates are fighting for.
Well, let's go back to the beginning stages of your career, starting to play soccer at the tender age of 5 years old. You grew up in Delran Township, New Jersey, just northeast of Philadelphia, playing soccer so early. What were your memories and your earliest memories of playing this game?
Well, I think the memories that I will always remember and cherish, you know, growing up in Delran was a very small town. Everybody knew everything about you, but you know, my love and my passion for soccer was so strong. It was stronger than any friend I had, any toy that I ever owned or received from my parents. It was all I wanted to do. So, you know, my memories were kicking the ball up against the curb out in front of my house where, you know, all of my neighbors, you know, weren't alarmed after a while because they were hearing this banging up against the curb. But they just realized it was me, and going to the park with, you know, some random boys that were playing a game, and I would hop in and I would play. And I was so competitive to be, to want to beat them every time I stepped out on the field. And it didn't matter. You know, it didn't matter that I was a girl. You know, those are my memories of always being around some sort of sport. You know, I wasn't in the house playing video games all the time. I was outside. I was in the parks. I was playing with my friends. And, you know, I think those moments were key moments that helped shape me and helped pave this path that I've been on.
What other sports did you play growing up? Was it always just soccer?
So I played anything. Competitively, I swam for my local swim team. I played basketball up until my junior year of high school, and I played softball, and, you know, around the neighborhood, I was playing football, you know, baseball, hockey, you name it. And if not, I was running around playing jailbreak or, you know, knock, knock, zoom, zoom on all of our neighbors' doors. But, you know, I was always outside doing something with my friends.
The energetic kid in the neighborhood. I love it. When you talk about all those sports and so many studies have been released, especially recently, just regarding the influence of sports on young girls and the way it can mold self-confidence, the way it can, you know, give you a sense of identity, but also provide so many valuable lessons with teamwork and leadership. How have sports influenced you and who you are as a person?
I think sports has honestly given me everything. It's not only given me confidence, it's made me mentally strong. It's allowed me to, you know, juggle so many different things when I was in school and when I was traveling and playing. You know, there's a lot that I'm doing with sports and soccer that school could never teach me. And, you know, you've traveled to different countries, you've been able to be around different cultures and different food and different time zones. And, you know, it really enables you to come out of your shell. And I remember as a kid, it was a tough, you know, it's tough growing up as a kid. You get picked on, you get made fun of. It's always a competition of what kind of clothes are you wearing? You know, I felt all of these things that other people were feeling. I didn't have maybe the best of confidence in myself, but you know, when it came down to gym class and, you know, me being in high school and, you know, everybody knowing that we had a big state game or a big, you know, final game and I'm wearing my jersey around in school, you know, that gave me a sense of confidence and people thought it was cool and they embraced you and they embraced, you know, you being super athletic. And, you know, without sport, I don't know that I would be the person that I am today. And, you know, I'm super thankful for all of the experiences that I've had, all the people that have been in my life, coaches, teammates. It's really shaped who I am as a person.
Let's talk about your coaches. You've had a coach for nearly two decades who's been the same coach of yours, James Galanis. In 2003, though, you had a bit of a reset moment. I think, were you going into your junior, you were finishing your junior year, going into your senior year at Rutgers. Is that around the time frame?
Yes, you've
been with your coach a long time. At that time in 2003, you know, he claimed you were just cruising by on your talent, which is so interesting as your talent was enormous and winning all kinds of accolades at Rutgers. When did you learn the importance of hard work and how did he teach you that you needed to focus in on not just cruising by on your talent, but doing additional work on the side as well?
Well, I think growing up, I had always been, you know, the coach's player and coaches want to win. And I think that, you know, I got away with a lot of things and I wish that I had some coaches that, you know, taught me a hard lesson and maybe put me on the bench if I wasn't working hard. But I was a kid who was just starving for somebody to grab hold of me and help navigate me to the path of getting on the national team. I wanted it so bad. I had every coach imaginable tell me, you're so talented, you can make the full women's national team. But I didn't believe it. And, you know, once I got cut from the under 21 team, which was, you know, this big moment of me meeting James, you know, there was something about him where I had an instant belief and confidence in him, the way that he spoke to me, the way that he, you know, told me, you know, in a nice way that, you know, maybe I am not fit enough and I have to change my mindset. You know, he did it in a way where I could buy into it and eventually when we started training and working together, I was seeing results and I was feeling different. And I think for me as a person, I need to be able to trust somebody, but I also need to be able to know why I'm doing certain things and see results. And once we started working together, I realized that, you know, if I do everything that he's asking of me and work hard, good things are going to happen. So I was like a sponge, you know, for 15 years and still am with him. But, you know, if I listen and soak up every single thing, I can go on to become the best player in the world. And, you know, he's just been helping navigate me on and off the field. And he's been kind of that person who has helped, you know, me so much in so many ways, you know, not just on the field, but off the field. And it's been, you know, a great relationship that we've had. And he's got two boys that are in soccer as well. And, you know, it's going to be my duty to pay it forward to them as well. So, you know, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I'm sure they look up to you so much, as so many players and personalities throughout the world do, with all of your accomplishments and your work off the field as well. Regarding that, you know, tough love coaching style, do you think that's what makes the great ones great? The ability to work harder when you know you're the best?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, for me, training has become an addiction. Sometimes it's, you know, it's a bit too much and I need to be reeled in again and say, hey, you need to, you know, chill out a little bit. But if I don't train hard, I feel like I'm slipping backwards at a rapid pace. And it's about finding that balance. You know, when I know that I'm improving each day, I feel satisfied. And the more that you feel satisfied, the more that you want that. So it is, you know, it is hard to find that balance, but you look at all of the greats that have played throughout sports history, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Michelle Akers, you know, so many other women's soccer players, basketball players. I mean, all of the greats have outworked all of their opponents. You know, you never hear about one of the greats, you know, just taking a seat on the couch all the time, barely training. You know, you were always hearing them clocking in the hours, and that's really what, you know, it comes down to. And for me, in order to achieve the goals that I want to achieve, this has to be my number one priority. I can't take any shortcuts. I can't have any regrets when I look back on my career, and I've got to give it my all, if not more than my all.
Well, you've done it all. You've given your all while being a tremendous leader as well. You captained the U.S. to its third title in 2015 at the FIFA Women's World Cup. You scored a hat trick, including a goal from midfield in the final, which I remember like it was yesterday. It's just been so fun to watch what you've been able to achieve. You also received the Golden Ball Trophy as the best player at the tournament and earned the Silver Boot for your 6 goals and 1 assist during that tournament. I mean, these are incredible accolades, Carly, just for that one tournament and the world title and wearing the red, white, and blue. But you did it all while wearing the C on your sweater as well, which I know means a lot to you. What do you take as the most important trait of being a good leader?
Well, to be quite honest, I didn't believe that, you know, I could go on to do what I've done. I think that it took probably until 2012 in my career after the London Olympics to really start to believe. And if you talked about me representing the United States as being a captain, I would have never dreamed about that either. You know, I don't look at myself as this person that, you know, necessarily needs all the spotlight. You know, I don't really like the spotlight, to be quite honest. I like to just put my head down, be a homebody, go out, work hard. But when I was asked upon to wear the band, it was a true honor. You know, you follow the greats of, you know, Julie Foudy and, you know, Christine Lilly has worn the band, Abby Wambach, Shannon Box has worn the band, Christy Rampone. It's an amazing, amazing honor. And, you know, I like to think of myself as, you know, a different leader than all of them. There's no right or wrong in leadership. I think you have to figure out what best suits you and to just be yourself. And I think that for so long in my career, yes, I've been, you know, focused on myself and and making sure that I'm being the best that I can be in regards to helping the team win. So I think, you know, you have to be an internal leader with yourself before you can be a team leader. And now with that role and with me wearing the armband, I feel comfortable. You know, I feel comfortable when my team is down and it's a World Cup semifinal to rally the troops and to lead by example and to help some of the younger players. But it truly is a remarkable honor, and I have learned, you know, so much. I'm still learning. I don't think that, you know, I will ever stop learning. We all don't stop learning until we die. But I think that, you know, I've been grateful to be able to have learned and picked from, you know, each different person that has kind of led this way throughout the U.S. national team, which has been amazing.
Well, through all your tremendous accomplishments, you've been honored a number of times from various places. And I mentioned off the top, you were the Sportswoman of the Year, March of Dimes in 2015. In May, you were inducted into the New Jersey Hall of Fame. And I was super jealous of the photo that you took with Bruce Springsteen as a fellow Jersey girl, but an amazing, amazing, you know, tribute by your home state there. Your alma mater, Rutgers University, honored you in 2013 by inducting you into the Rutgers Hall of Distinguished Alumni. And then more recently, in October, you were honored again by Rutgers, inducted into their Athletics Hall of Fame. When all of these places that were a big part of your growth and your development and what makes you as a person off the field as well, when all of them choose to bring you back and honor you, what does that mean to you?
Well, just to backtrack to the Bruce thing, I was such a fangirl at that moment because I was up on stage. We had all finished, you know, we were all up there. He was singing. And all of my friends and family were like, you better get a picture with him. So I had to literally hunt him down, wait, because so many other people were thinking the same thing. And I happened to get a photo with him, which it was well worth it. So
it totally was. I loved it. I loved it.
But no, I mean, it's, you know, when people talk about New Jersey and, you know, maybe we've got a bad rap because everybody flies into Newark and they see everything around. I love
100%.
I am a total homebody. I love being home. You know, in order for me to feel satisfied and happy, I just need my house, my husband, my friends and family, and that's it. And you know, it's been pretty amazing to have been able to go to Rutgers, stay in New Jersey for college, and then, you know, all of these things that come with it, the New Jersey Hall of Fame, getting to meet so many different people, being a part of the Rutgers University Hall of Distinguished Alumni. And, you know, the Rutgers Athletic Hall of Fame, it's been surreal. And my friends and family have been able to partake in all of these things and really enjoy it as well. So it's, you know, it's been an honor to be represented and amongst some of the greats in New Jersey. And, you know, I love New Jersey. You know, there's so many good things about it, the people, the food, you know, easy access to mountains, to the water. So it's, you know, it's where I'll be for, you know, probably forever.
I love that. So is Jersey Girl your favorite Bruce song?
That's a good song. Yeah. I think Jersey Girl is a good one.
Well, you know, I have to say, when we were both, I was a year older than you at Rutgers, also an athlete, but I just remember, you know, watching your accomplishments every single year and just, you know, the wow factor and seeing you in the training room and overlapping and just remembering being almost starstruck because you were so accomplished at such a young age and doing our university, and now you've done our state proud. And it's been really, really fun to watch you, Carly. And I know we've covered a lot of topics here, and I haven't even been able to share all of them and get to everything I wanted to, but I did want to also bring up your book that you wrote, your memoir in 2016, because I think this is so important. And the title of it was When Nobody Was Watching. What was your biggest reason for writing this memoir and the number one message that you really wanted to convey with it?
Well, as most people know me, I am a very private person. Most of my, you know, social posts and interactions are about me training or, you know, really kind of kept, you know, a bit private with my personal life. And, you know, when the opportunity came to write a book, you know, I wouldn't say I was a little hesitant, but, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to kind of dig out, and you have to be willing to share and be willing to be open about it. So I wasn't sure. And, you know, there were so many things where it's like, you know, I didn't want to share that. But then I'm happy with the entire book because I think that it really lets people in on who I am as a person, more so than who I am as a player, and just the journey that I've gone on. I think that, you know, most people kind of have me misinterpreted a little bit. I think, you know, when they see me, I'm on the pitch and, you know, my eyes are about to, you know, bulge out of my sockets. I'm in competition mode. I'm ready to go. But, you know, off the field, you know, I'm a loyal, caring family person, who, you know, just really loves to get to know people. And, I'm not the type of person I am on the field. So this book just allowed me to, you know, have people dive into me a little bit more. And, you know, it was obviously more than just an interview surface. And, you know, I'm really, really happy with how it turned out. I thought Wayne did a phenomenal job writing it. And I think that, you know, so many people could relate to it. I think it was a book that wasn't just meant for, you know, how does a soccer player get better? I think that my story, my journey could relate to thousands of people, you know, whether they're struggling with something in their lives or their professions, to, you know, to be able to trust the process and work extremely hard. But, you know, it was a fun, tough, challenging year of a process, you know, having to dig up things, having to remember things. But I'm really happy I did it. And, you know, I couldn't have been any happier with the final product.
Well, I'm excited to read it. It's on my Christmas list this year. So hopefully a lot of others who are listening put it on theirs as well. Carly, just a couple little fun questions. You talk about opening up. We're going to get you to open up a little bit here in these final remaining minutes of this podcast. Quickly, what kind of music do you like to listen to? We know you're a Bruce fan, but what else do you like to listen to?
You know, I kind of listen to a range of things. I would say, you know, a lot of the today's top hits. You know, I'm not really into the hardcore rap that has necessarily been out these days, but I do like a little bit of, I like Eminem, I like Drake. But I honestly will listen to pretty much everything, including country.
Kind of an eclectic group of a listening pod there. What is your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. I would probably have to say online shopping.
Oh,
that's
boy.
A little out of control, especially
on
the road.
Hopefully you had an opportunity to take advantage of the sales yesterday on online shopping and this week. What do you like to do to relax and recharge your batteries?
Honestly, like I've said before, just being home, you know, being home in my sweatshirt, feet up, catching up on shows, watching a movie with my husband. That's as exciting as it'll get.
And finally, you've had the opportunity to travel the world, see some amazing places. What is the top item on your bucket list right now?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would probably have to say I want to take a trip to Greece. So that is kind of, you know, I'm thinking post-retirement. But, you know, I've got quite a few things on the bucket list. I almost want to retravel the world and go to a lot of parts that I just haven't been able to get to. So I think traveling is fun and, you know, you grow so much as a person. So I'm really looking forward to retraveling when my career is done.
Yeah, and traveling when you're not working is even more fun. I can vouch for Greece. It's an incredible place. I went 2 summers ago. I'll be happy to send you an itinerary. That's a great item to have on your bucket list. Yeah. Well, Carly, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. This has been amazing. I know our audience is going to really enjoy listening to you and the inspiring words you had to share with us today. It was fun watching your career as a fellow student athlete at Rutgers, and we look forward to continuing to watch you on the world stage.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Our thanks to Carly Lloyd for joining us today. You can download the On Her Turf podcast on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. Let us know what you think. We want to hear from you, so be sure to chime in. You can follow us on Instagram on Her Turf. Have a great rest of your day, and be sure to join us next time for the On Her Turf podcast.